So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie and nuts.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D. We can now be heard, in addition to all the other avenues, at a webpage, my own webpage, which is at www.italianamericanlife.com. That's italianamericanlife.com. You can hear all my shows. We have a great show today. I'm very excited about this show. My guest is Nicola Oricuia. Nicola, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Frank, for having me.
And thank you. Thank you. I know that you have started the first of its kind Italian-American bookstore in Boston, and I am really excited to hear about that. But I'd like to just get a feel for your background and where you're from and all that. So where you're from Italy originally, correct?
Yes, I'm from Rome. I moved to the U.S. in 2008.
Oh, you're from Rome, right from Rome. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you came here?
I was 26. I turned 26 just after moving here.
Oh, my God. You speak English beautifully. You don't even have an accent.
Thank you.
How do you speak so well? Did you study English in Italy, I take it?
Yeah. I did. For a few years, I did go to English schools when I was a little kid.
Oh, so it was exclusively in English?
Yeah. There were a lot of American kids, and I picked up the accent. And then when I was in high school, I did a year as a foreign exchange student, and I went to St. Louis for a year.
Okay, that makes sense, because you speak too well to just have studied it all those years. Yes. Okay, so you came at 26. Okay, did you have a writing background or?
Yeah, I was a journalist back in Italy. I studied communications and then worked at a daily newspaper for a few years, and also then at a monthly magazine.
Oh, okay. By any chance, did you study at Sapienza?
Yep, Sapienza, yeah.
Okay, you did. I kind of figured that,
the
yes.
The big one.
Yeah, exactly, the big one. Okay, that's the University of Rome. Excellent, okay. So you you had been in St. Louis for a year. When you came here, to move here, did you come to Chicago or did you go to St. Louis?
Yeah. So I came in 2008, spring of 2008, moved to Chicago with my wife. We weren't married at the time yet, but we were... had been together for a long time. She's Italian as well.
Okay.
So we moved to Chicago. She's a doctor, so she was pursuing a medical career, and I did a master's in journalism at Columbia College in Chicago.
Excellent.
Which was a fantastic experience. And then I started working for Fra Noi, which is the Italian American monthly magazine.
Right, because I would see your articles in Italian. And then, how did you go from Chicago to Boston?
That was a move that happened in the summer of 2010. My wife got a position at one of the hospitals in Boston, and so we moved. But luckily, I was able to keep working for Fra Noi, and things then kind of picked up from there. Doing some other things for the Italian American community here in Boston.
Oh, okay. So you always, like, even coming here, you wanted to keep, ties with Italy, with the Italian American people and culture here. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, when I came here, I didn't know pretty much anything about Italian-American culture or heritage.
Now, you had no relatives in the United States, or...?
No.
Okay.
For me, in schools in Italy, they don't really teach you that much about the whole emigration period. I mean, it's talked about, but very briefly.
Okay.
It's not taught that much. So, people growing up in Italy or going to school in Italy, they don't really... I mean, about the millions of people who came to the U.S., to Canada, went to Australia, South America, but it's kind of like almost like it's hidden, right?
Hmm.
And so when I came here, I was blown away by the really rich culture and heritage, and how much people are also attached to their heritage. And for me, everything was really, really new. And, you know, getting to know Franoy and the work that was being done there, for me, I was really excited to be part of that and to be able to contribute to that discussion. And for me, it was, as I said, everything was new, everything was very exciting, and I thought there was extreme value in what, you know, they were doing and people all across the country are doing when it comes to, you know, furthering the Italian-American spirit and
yes, they are, definitely.
All the customs that come along with that.
Yes, and it's very interesting to hear your point of view. And I don't want to say, like, from an outsider, but then again, it kind of is. Like, I mean, here's somebody from Italy that came to Chicago, doesn't, you know, have any relatives here, doesn't, you know the way. And it's very interesting to hear your take on it all. And I've always thought, like, Italian-Americans is almost like, I mean, that's an ethnic group, but it's almost like, it's a whole group in itself. Like, mm-hmm. There's Italians in Italy, but Italian-Americans, it's like a whole other thing, you know?
Right,
And it's great to keep a connection between both.
Right.
And I think mm-hmm. that's what you're doing with this project. So, anyway, so you're in Boston, and now you start an Italian-American magazine in Boston, similar to the Franoy here in Chicago. Did they have anything like that at that time, or had they had anything like that?
In Boston, they have several things when it comes to Italian American culture. So, first of all, Boston still has a very Italian neighborhood, the North End.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to other neighborhoods around the country that have suffered.
How big is the North End? Like this? Like, how many blocks is it?
Oh, North End is a whole neighborhood.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's an entire neighborhood. I mean, you know, they've gone through many changes as well, and now there's a lot of, like, young professionals that are coming in, or you know, a lot of the older folks are unfortunately passing away.
Yes.
And so, kind of the neighborhood is changing, but it still has a very strong Italian character.
Okay.
And it is a whole neighborhood, really. And you have, you know, the restaurants, the pastry shops. You have the Italian pharmacist. You have the Italian, you know, doctor. And it's really like a little, it's the true Little Italy like it would be.
And when you think of a Little Italy, yes. I mean, I have to admit this. I've never been there. I don't get to travel much. I'm stuck here in Chicago. But every person that's gone there, A, loves it, and B tells me, because they know the way I am, you have to go to Boston. Okay, so I can only imagine that this is, like, for me, a bit of a utopia place. That's wonderful, yes. So they must have had monthly newsletters or, newspapers. I'm sure they had stuff like that, correct?
Yeah, so there's a weekly newspaper that...
a weekly one.
It's called the Post-Gazette, and they've been around for over 115 years.
Oh, wow.
It was founded by the current publisher's grandfather.
Okay.
And, you know, they're more of a neighborhood paper now, and they do cater to Italian Americans, but it's more like the recent news, what happened, which is what you should do when you're a weekly, right?
Correct.
So they do that, but what I felt that was missing was something more like what Franoy had, which was, Franoy in Chicago is a monthly, and it goes more in depth. It has more features. It has, you know, longer stories, and it's a magazine that you kind of keep in the house for a long time.
Yes, you do.
As opposed to maybe a newspaper, where you know, once you're done reading it,
you tend to throw it away. Right. Okay. So.
Oh yeah.
From that, you had this this vision, this idea.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Chicago had Franoy, and Franoy is as I said, it's an amazing magazine. I think what the work that Paul Basil and Mary Rasila do is just outstanding. And,
yes, it is.
You know, I felt really privileged to have been part of that of the team for even if it were for a short period of time. And so I said, well, you know, why not? Since Boston has this great neighborhood and it has actually a great community, there's a lot of Italian Americans. It's one of the you know, states with the highest
is it population? Is it? Yes.
And so so why not give, you know, try something similar to what Farnoy is doing in Boston? And so, you know, I pitched the idea to Paul in Chicago, and things kind of started going in April of 2012, and basically I had to, you know, find, of course, some financing, like the advertising money, to get everything launched, and and then we launched the magazine, but with a little bit of a different model. So Frontoy is a base, mostly subscription based, and we actually launched with a free magazine.
Yes, I saw that it's free. So now, do you deliver, or is it just located in different businesses, and someone can pick up a copy that way?
It's you can find it in mostly like in businesses, yes, in retail stores. But we do offer subscriptions, and actually, in January we'll be starting our fourth year, and we'll actually be changing. We'll be going towards the Franoi model, so the magazine won't be free anymore. And that's a business decision, because in the end it was kind of tough to sustain a free magazine.
I would imagine, really, especially too, this is a it's a colored magazine just like the Franoi, correct?
Right. Okay. It's basically the same. Yeah.
It's got to be very expensive to make.
It is.
You know, back in the day... I'm sorry, but back in the day, the Franoi in Chicago was free, but it was a newspaper, black and white, which is totally a different cost value. And this is years and years ago. So, I mean, yeah, it would be very difficult to run a magazine like that free, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I mean, if I had to, you know, do it over again, I would start it free once again, just because, you know, you're talking to people that have never read anything like this or have never experienced anything like this. So you need to kind of prove yourself first. And I think, you know, now is the right time. And people have really understood and appreciated this this switch. So we've received really a lot of subscriptions over the past few months.
You have.
You know, since we announced the shift.
Right. And you've been around for about 3 years, I take it, with this magazine?
Yeah. So, as I said, in January, it's going to be our fourth year.
Oh, is it? Okay. No, that's excellent. You must be doing very well then, because it wouldn't have lasted that long. And, yeah, I would think that people would understand, definitely.
Yeah.
And what, now, is it just based in around the Boston area, the articles, or do you do a little bit of national news as well?
Yeah, so the way it works is we share articles with Franoi. So, for example, you know, we have the same recipe articles, we have the same like general interest stories, and then we provide some local stories, and those can be profiles of local personalities. We have the local community news, our local calendar. So it's a bit of a mix, and I don't know if you've heard, but recently, you know, in the spring of this year, a third member has joined the family in Las Vegas. La Voce, it's called. So now there's actually three magazines. So there's Franoi, Bostoniano in Boston,
and then La Voce in Las Vegas.
So it's a growing family, and
it goes to
show, you know, how much value I think people give to the work that has started from Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that people, and we'll get to this with your bookstore, I really believe that Italian Americans really do want to hold on to their ethnic background, and they do want to, you know, receive information, and they want to learn things, and it's almost like build it and they shall come.
Exactly.
And you did that part. You built it, and I think they shall come. I don't see lack of interest at all in these matters.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Now, are you the editor of the?
Yes. So of the local paper here. Yes.
Okay. So it's called the Bostoniano.
Bostoniano. Yes.
Bostoniano. So is that like the Italian version of someone from Boston?
Right. Exactly. So instead of saying, you know, Bostonian is what you would refer to someone from Boston in English, and you just add an O to that.
Oh, okay.
Italian.
Is that what they would call themselves? Or did you come up with
that?
Yeah,
yeah. There's even a magazine out here called The Improper Bostonian.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's great. That's great. So you write an article. As it comes out once a month, I assume?
Yes. And so it's the same frequency as Franoi.
Right. And you do an article every month?
So I do an editorial.
Okay.
And then there are local correspondents who write.
Okay. Okay, that's great. That's great. I hear the baby in the background. That's excellent.
Yes, I'm babysitting today for my son.
Oh, so you have a son. Okay, that's
a
2-year-old. And what's his name?
Leonardo.
Leonardo, that's beautiful. Congratulations. That's great. Okay, let's get to I Am Books. I have to tell you, when I heard about this, I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Thank you.
I'm not joking. If you knew me better, I get goosebumps over things like this. Okay? Where did this idea come from? You obviously are like a man of vision, and you have ideas, and the best part is you accomplish these ideas. So where did this idea come from?
So last summer, I had some time to spend in the North End. I had a friend who owned a business there, just my age, Italian, just like me, but he was selling like high-end Italian products, and I was looking for an office space because I've always actually worked from home, and you know I needed to be out a little more. I thought, and so I asked him, since he had an extra floor where he uses his office space, I said, could I spend some time and with him? And he said, yeah, sure, not a problem. And so I got to live the North End a little more, because I go there often, but I never really kind of stayed and looked around and tried to really get a feel of the neighborhood. And, you know, one thing led to another. My friend, he was actually going through a transition. He was thinking of closing the business after 3 years. And you know, I said, well, what are you going to do with this space? And he said, nothing. I'm just going to give it up. And I said, well, you know, it might be a nice idea to have something like a cultural center, I thought, you know, because there's a lot of things that, I mean, through the magazine, what I've been perceiving is that there's a lot of a real interest, like you said before, like Italian Americans, they really want to dive into their heritage. They want to know as much as possible. That's why they appreciate magazines like Franoi or Bostoniano. But what I thought was missing in the North End, because there's a lot of restaurants, there's a lot of food places, and there's a lot of great, you know, like retail stores, but there's no such place where you can really kind of just immerse yourself in our shared culture and heritage.
Okay.
So I said, well, the best place to do such a thing could be a bookstore, because through the years, I've also gotten in touch with a lot of authors, you know, Italian-American authors, and so many people write about, like, their family story, the history of the town where their family was from, and so there's a whole underworld of people who are producing these things, and they really don't have an outlet, you know, aside from, like, magazines as ours. We can write about it, sure, and that helps, but then where are they going to sell their books,
right?
For example? Just Amazon? All right, but it's, you know,
it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing, because we opened October 29th, and, you know, in this month and a half or so that we've been operating, I have to say, people really enjoy the fact that they walk in there, they walk into IM Books, and they might have an idea about something, or about, you know, let's say the region their family was from, and then they walk out of IM Books with 20 more ideas. And that was the whole concept. The whole concept was And I think this works for bookstores in general. When you go into a bookstore, you like to find and discover stuff you didn't know about before.
Correct.
So that was the idea. That was okay. Kind of the vision. Let's give the community here a place where they can feel a little at home, you know?
And you're right, because, I mean, culturally speaking, okay, it's a given there's going to be restaurants, there's going to be bakeries. We know that, and that's excellent, but there's so much more. There, you know, that's a part of our culture, but then again, I mean, that's definitely part of our culture, but that's not the only part.
Right.
And your stores probably serves a niche for all the other things, and you're right in the North End, so I got to think that all these people that are going to visit the North End, now they have a means to, you know, buy books there, to learn information. That's excellent. That's
right.
Great.
And, you know, just to tell you how, Italian the neighborhood still is, I mean, on Saturday mornings, there's an Italian language school for kids, and it's packed. I mean, families from all over the Boston metropolitan area come to send their kids there on a Saturday morning. On Sunday, there's the Mass in Italian at St. Leonard's Church. So,
there's
all these people that, or they go to the cafes to watch the soccer games, you know.
Yes. Now, let me ask you a question, because I don't know. The North End is this neighborhood. Now, do a lot of Italian-Americans live in the North End?
No, actually, a lot of them have moved out over the years.
Okay.
So a lot of them live in the surrounding towns or suburbs. It's when it comes to, like, the geography, it's a little different compared to Chicago. I mean, Chicago is really enormous.
Boston still has
this kind of more
small-town feel.
Yeah, exactly. And also, when you look at, you know, the towns that are close to it, it's really, like, some towns it's like 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. So you might be living, you know, three towns away from Boston, but you're still at a 15-minute ride from Boston itself.
And I'm going to assume that, like, okay, you have the North End. That's pretty much it. Like, that's the Italian section, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Little Italy type of thing.
Yeah. There are some places around that might have, you know, like, several Italian shops and things, but no real place that has that kind of Italian neighborhood. There are a few, you know, like streets and around here. But that's the only.
That's probably a better thing. See, like you said about Chicago, it's so big and there's so many different areas. You know, there's Taylor Street, there's Harlem Avenue, there's Grand Avenue, there's, you know, Melrose Park. We're spread out so much, we almost spread ourselves too thin, where there isn't that, like, one, like, real Little Italy. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not like that. But have the people over there, they've embraced the store? Everyone likes this idea? They like the concept?
Oh yeah. They love it. And that's what I had that gut feeling that people would understand, and that's just the case. I mean, when you walk in there, we're so focused and so, let's, you know, say specialized,
mm-hmm.
that there's really no getting confused when you walk into our store. So, for example, if you're looking for something about, I don't know, French culture, I'm sorry, but you're not going to find it
right
in our store. I mean, every single book or item that we sell, because we also sell, you know, like children's toys and children's items, or little, like, gift items, everything has that Italian angle, that Italian connection, or
which
that
is great.
Italian-American connection.
Exactly, and that's the name of the store, and that's what you are. That's your identity, and that's great.
Right.
I did have a question, though. Okay, so if I'm an Italian-American, I write a book, but it's not about Italian-Americans or has that kind of a background. Is that the kind of book you're looking for, or is it strictly about the subjects more?
No, so that's a great question, because we have a lot of Italian-American authors who write about, you know, other things. They might be writing novels that have nothing to do with Italy, and that's fine. You know, we have, of course, different sections and different categories within the store. And we have a local authors section. So anyone who is an Italian-American author can still send us their books, and we'd be more than happy to have it. Because we also, that was another reason why I wanted to start the bookstore, was to actually give all these authors a place where they could have their books displayed. And, you know, not just have them on Amazon or on their websites, but actually have a physical place where they can, you know, be, and someone can discover them. And the same thing goes, for example, for music, because there's, in Boston, there's a very big musical college called Berklee, and so many Italians have gone through and still are there through that college, and they're doing some great things here when it comes to music. And but their CDs, you can't find them anywhere unless you go to one of their concerts. And so we're selling those.
Oh, too. You're selling those as well, so you have music as well. By Italian Americans.
Italians, Italian Americans.
Italians,
yep.
Italian Americans. Wow, this is fantastic. This is great. I actually did a show. One of my previous shows was with Italian American authors here in Chicago, and they had all written about Italian American subjects. So it was a very nice show, and I had I believe four authors here, and it they said the same things. It was, you know, how do you get your book? And they'd say, well, Amazon, and you're right, that Amazon thing has no feel. I can't touch it. I can't, you know, I can walk into your store. I can see the books on display. I can get a feel. I'm sure there's like a vibe in the whole store because the whole neighborhood has a vibe that it just all goes together.
Well, I mean, and it goes back to what I said earlier. I mean, if you go on Amazon, more than likely you already know what you want, right?
Correct.
So, and then Amazon might suggest a few things based on what you're buying. They might say, hey, you might be interested in this, but it's, okay, how do they know, right? It's based on algorithms. While if you walk into a bookstore, maybe you know what you want. Let's say there is a book on, I don't know, Italian, on Frank Sinatra that you want to buy, let's say, right? Because we're celebrating his 100th birthday.
Correct.
These days. But you walk in there, and you had no idea that there were several books on Frank Sinatra, because you knew there was only one. But hey, maybe there's a better one that, or a different type, you know, a different way that it's been approached. So that's the beauty of a bookstore in general.
Right.
And in ours, when it comes to ours, it's much more specific. So there's no risk of kind of getting lost within our bookstore, because you know what you get.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what you see is what you get, yes.
Right.
What are the hours of the store, the days that you're open?
So right now we're open every day of the week. Monday through Friday we're open 11 to 7 p.m. And then on weekends we open earlier at 9 a.m. And we close 6 p.m.
Are you there mostly, or?
So the great thing about this location that we have is it has two floors. One is the bookstore, which is the ground floor.
Okay.
And then there's a basement.
A basement, correct? Yes.
Yeah, and it's not accessible to the public. It's used as office space, and that's where the Bostoniano magazine offices are. So if I'm not upstairs, I'm downstairs.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful, though.
Right.
That's great. Where were you previously with the magazine?
Oh, at home.
At home, oh.
At home.
So this worked out like in a dual effect, this story.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And then you're always there, and if there's something upstairs, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think having the magazine there adds to the whole Italian-American dimension of the store, because basically when you walk in that store and you realize that in the same place the magazine is being produced, I think it kind of it starts hitting you that this is a place where we're trying to create something. And that's what I've always also really strongly believed, is that culture needs to be, I mean, it's great to go over what has been great in the past, and we all history is very important. But at the same time, we need to keep creating culture, and that's why it's so important to give local authors who are producing now something some room and space. And then we're creating events. We had Tommy DiPaola, the the children's book author. We had Marianne Esposito come for a book signing.
Oh, that's great. These are excellent. I love the way you talk. These are excellent ideas. I love your philosophy. And absolutely, I totally agree. If this was done, you know, on a website and you were, you know, you had warehouse space and you housed the books, it's not the same thing. Seeing that storefront hitting me in the face, that there's a storefront and there's a window and there's a door and I walk in and I see things, is so much better.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's great. Now, how does, do authors seek you out? Do you seek out authors? How does that all work?
Well, it goes both ways. Some authors might reach out to us and, you know, say, hey, I have a book. Are you interested? And, you know, we then...
So it's okay if I spread the word with the people I know here in Chicago that are authors?
Absolutely.
In my big mouth, I can start telling
do.
People? No, I definitely will. I've already got people in mind I want to tell because, you know, I don't know how much, you know, they're aware of this. I don't think they are, to be honest.
Oh, well, you know, we're new, so I'm pretty sure that word still needs to spread, but... I have to say, we've had some, it's been funny, we did have some people from far away, like a person out in Oregon contacted us for a book. And
well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have a web page that I can't come to Boston because of my business and my wife and my kids and my life? So right at the moment, I can't come to Boston, but I would like to browse your catalog, so to speak. Do you have something like that?
Yeah, so that of course is part of the whole experience, and we were kind of caught off guard with the whole book. Like, I never started a bookstore in my life before, so that was a totally new business.
I never did an internet show before, Nicola. So we're even there. That's the thing about life. You try it and you do it. But one thing I can already tell, and I'm going to tell you this: I can sense the passion in your voice and in your heart about what you're doing. And whenever you do something with that, you do it pretty well.
Oh, that's for sure.
So
I do it also because I'm pretty sure that's the same way when it comes to, you know, for Paul and Franoy and other people who do something for Italian Americans. And as I said, I think it's the same for you and your listeners. When you get feedback from your listeners, your readers, or in the bookstore case, the customers. Italian-Americans, when they connect, there's something. There's really something special about that connection. And that's really what makes, at the end of the day, that's really what makes my day.
Worthwhile.
You know, have someone come in the store and just, like, almost tear up because there's...
Yes.
I had someone in the other day said, I want to buy every single book in here because it makes me feel so at home.
Yes, yes. And you know what else, too? I think it helps a lot. You're not, by birth, a Bostonian or Bostoniano, but the fact that you're Italian, but like genuine Italian, I think that lends a lot of authenticity to this. I really do. Because you know what you're talking about because you lived it.
Yeah.
As far as that part of it, I mean, there's a whole Italian-American culture, but the Italian culture, we unfortunately here... We're starting to lose it a little. We're starting to lose it a lot, let me say that. You know better than I. People don't come from Italy as much as they used to. They do not. There's not that wave of Italians moving here. So we are just kind of like every day we're getting farther removed from Italy and like Italian culture, like genuine Italian culture. So now someone like you who, you know, isn't from here three generations later, you're from Italy. And not only are you from Italy, but you came here when you were 26 years old. I mean, you lived in Italy. You know it. That's great. That's great. I
agree. And at the same time, you know, I think it's, I mean, what I try to do, and I do feel this every day, is, you know, I try to put myself in the shoes of those who came from Italy, you know, many years ago. Of course, everything was different. I mean, you know, the country was different. The conditions, the living conditions were different. But, I think the emotions are the same. So, you know, I've been here for over 7 years now. 2 years ago, my son was born here, so he's the first Italian-American in the family.
Yes, correct,
But being kind of, not uprooted, but, you know, you do have to leave your family and your friends behind. And so I kind of always related to that whole experience, and that's why, as I said, I was really fascinated with the whole Italian immigration experience to the United States.
Okay.
Because I really could relate to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, definitely. No, this is all just great. Tell us address, phone number, all that stuff. Give us all the information.
Right. So the bookstore is in the North End. It's in Boston. The address is 189 North Street.
North,
like the direction.
Okay, yep. And then it's the name of the street, the street?
North Street, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
189 North Street, and it's actually really easy to find because we're across the street from Paul Revere's house, which is a huge tourist destination.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. That's a landmark, so it would be easy to find. Yes.
And we have the Freedom Trail across the street, too, which is this trail that you do and kind of go through different historic landmarks. So 189 North Street in Boston, and we have a website, which is iambooksboston.com.
iambooksboston.com, okay.
And the website is under construction. I mean, there's really almost nothing on there because that, as I said, I was so unprepared with starting an actual storefront that I had to put the website on the back burner. But we're really working hard to...
Are you going to do something like I was saying, like a catalog
absolutely.
Type thing? Okay.
Yeah, because I think, you know, as a storefront was missing, I think also an online presence that is just like the bookstore is missing. So we're going to fill that void in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not a technology type of guy. I'm not a computer guy. I'm kind of an old school guy, but I see that the world with this computer makes it such a small place. And I mean, you're going to attract people from all over the country, and you'll probably attract people from all over the world now, because there's going to be someone that speaks English, you know, in Australia, because that's where they speak. And they're going to say, wow, an Italian American bookstore. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just opens up so much. So yeah, that will help as well. Phone number
two,
yes.
857-263-7665. I'll say that number again. 857-263-7665.
Okay. Nicola, che ti posso dire? Sei proprio bravissimo. Ma
grazie,
sei proprio,
thanks.
Proprio bravissimo.
Oh,
e meno male che sei venuto in America. Per noi, per gli italoamericani. Questo ti dico.
Grazie a te, ai tuoi ascoltatori. Grazie per avermi avuto come ospite. Thank you so much for
having you. It's been a pleasure, and good luck with this venture. And you must succeed, because it would be a success for us, for the Italian American people.
Absolutely,
we need to have this. Thank you so much. If I ever make it out there, I'm going directly to your store.
And we're waiting for you, Frank.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the best Buon Natale a te, a tua moglie e tuo figlio, okay?
Grazie, Buon Natale a tutti.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. And now, as we always do on the Keeping It Real Frankie D, the quote or inspirational words of the show, this comes from St. Catherine of Siena, Santa Caterina di Siena. Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things. I think she was talking to Nicola. Okay, thank you. If you're going to be in Boston, please go to the bookstore, I Am Books, and look on the webpage. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
I hope so anytime.
You have been listening to Keeping It Real with Frankie D and his guest on Jack FM, 89.7 WRHS FM Norwich, and the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This program was directed by John DeVita, and a special thanks to Kevin Zeflik of WRHS FM Norwich, and the executive producer of Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network, Mr. John Shikanda.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a...
This broadcast was pre-recorded on Wednesday, December the 16th, the year of our Lord, 2015. Thanks for listening, and please be safe. And this is Jack Frost FM, 89.7 WRHS FM Norwich. Have a great day, everyone.